welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with veteran New York City jazz drummer Mike Clark on the 2022 CD Blues on Top. He teamed up with another veteran, the very talented bassist Leon Lee Dorsey and renowned pianist Mike LaDon, for another stellar recording. This album brings Clark and Dorsey together for their fifth recording. We get into this new album, live shows, the new world we live in, and much more. Enjoy.
Okay, Mike, great to catch up with you again. Thanks for taking a minute out.
Absolutely, bro. Man, where are you?
I'm in Kansas City.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Kansas City, here I come. Okay.
12th
Street and Vine.
That's right.
This and is a bottle of my Kansas, bottle of Kansas City wine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Parents of the Plains. Yeah. The last time we spoke was before the world shut down and everything got goofy.
Yes. Yes. I remember you, of course. Yes, I do.
Right on. Well, I really, really dig the new album, and as usual, you're always putting out quality albums, and I want to know, Blues on Top, talk to me a little bit about how this album came about and how it feels now that the world's opening up.
Great questions, both of them. Okay, let's see. I'm in mid-coffee, so this ought to be good. Well, first of all, Leon Dorsey, the great bassist, and myself have been making records for a while now. And we just sort of teamed up and made one record, and it felt so good that we said, well, man, let's just keep going. And so once or twice a year, we roll up in there, and we try to have a little, without being corny, we try to have a theme, a reason to do this, not just a play, but like, let's do a, such as Blues on Top. Okay, let's do a blues theme, you know, or let's do a Wes Montgomery theme, or let's do a Bill Evans, or maybe not a person, but this time it was, let's do a blues theme. 16-bar blues, regular blues, minor blues, blues with a bridge, da-da-da-da-da, 3-4 time, whatever. So, you know, to change it up. So I said, I know the guy for this. Mike LaDon, one of the hardest swinging piano players that I know. I called Mike and he said, hey, I'm in, let's do it. And then we went to a rehearsal, and I had chosen some tunes that I like to play, some blues tunes. And Mike came in and said, hey, you guys, I prepared some music just in case you want to do it. And he wrote Blues on Top. I had wanted to play Blues on Purpose by Wynton Kelly. And he said, man, Wynton made such a, and Jimmy Cobb, and PC made such a statement that let's not try to redo that. But I'm going to write something in the, but I wrote something, Mike said, in the ballpark, you know, the, and so there it is. So then it swung so hard and felt so great. When I heard the playback, I thought this has got to be the name of the record. And Leon agreed. Mike also brought in Jacob's Ladder, and which he wrote, which is a little funky blues thing. And then I forget what the name of the other funky one is, and I don't have my CD in front of me. I can't remember. No, wait, I do have it. And then, you know, I had recommended, I've been wanting to, when I was in seventh grade, I played C-Jam blues with the big band in school, and it blew my mind. I've been wanting to record it my entire life. So we played C-Jam Blues. That was my idea. Also, I recommended Angel Eyes. Leon brought in Burt's work. He also wanted to do Can't Buy Me Love, the Beatles tune. Mike wrote Lock It in the Pocket, which is I loved playing on the funky side. And see, Mike can play, you know, he's like this knowledgeable, incredible jazz pianist, but he also is the Tower of Power and James Brown and blues nut, so he can do all of this funky stuff too, and do it jazz style or funk style, you know, either way, because he plays really great piano and, as you know, really great B3, so he's, you know, this guy is brilliant. So I recommended Stolen Moments, another tune that I've been in love with since high school. I played it in high school, and I was like, oh, man. Man, the session went down in 2 4-hour sessions. 4 hours one day, 4 hours next day, come in a few days later and mix, boom, done. So it's jazz style. Everything, almost everything was the first take with one little rehearsal the day before we, and we didn't even get to rehearse all the music, so some of it were reading, believe it or not. Some of it were just feeling and playing because we know the tunes. And then everybody called each other the next day. Hey, man, that was fun. Ah, let's do it again. You know, so that's how. There you go. That's part right A. Did I exhaust you with that answer?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, because I'm in the middle of a cup of really strong coffee, so I hope I don't go on for 4.5 hours. About. And the other part, what is it like since, after COVID and the world has opened back up? Well, I'm not sure that the jazz world has opened all the way back up in terms of gigs, but myself, I consider myself lucky, fortunate. I also put a hell of a lot of work into working. So I have a busy schedule as a jazz musician. And call me lucky. I feel blessed. And you know, it's not that it's not a struggle. It is. But I'm okay. I got enough on the books to make a living. But I definitely, I mean, I went from working all year around and trying to find time off to sneak down to an island to rejuvenate to now maybe I have a half a year's work, which at this point is nothing to sneeze at. So I don't think, you know, a lot of clubs are closed, I'm also a clinician. So a lot of companies that I endorse their product can no longer pay me to do clinics. A lot of colleges' budgets are really tight. A lot of smaller venues that I could always get in without even, you know, one on a moment's notice practically, if you will, are closed or have to be very careful who they hire and when they hire. You know, with all the years that I've been playing, I'm not like a main headliner on the big festivals or stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying this begrudgingly. I dig what I'm doing, man. I'm good. But the reality is I'm not that guy. And of course, I'd love to be that guy. And I feel even at my age, I'm still working on being that guy. But in the meantime, I'm not going to feel bad about not being that guy. But so I'm not getting the benefits that guys like that get. And I'm not bugged about it at all. I'm working on it, as I say, which is, you know, the process is interesting and sometimes painful, but sometimes a hell of a lot of fun and lots of self-reflection, because I'm the kind of artist that feels like you drive your own ship. I'm not a victim, so it's up to me to get where I'm going. And I'm trying to make the kind of causes by playing good music. I don't take any funk gigs at all so that my jazz career can breathe, and I haven't in many, many years. Except for the Headhunters, which I'm a co-leader, and that features Donald Harrison and Bill Summers, which I feel are like two of my family members. I love these cats. And so we go out very little, a couple of times a year to do the Headhunters, so it's not a big deal. Okay, how's that?
I like it.
Oh, so yeah, I am. If you go, one more thing, bro, I'm sorry, and I will stop, I promise.
No, you're good.
But this is kind of important. If you go to DrummerMikeClark.com, you can see my dates. I'm getting ready to do, me and Michael Zilber are getting ready to do the Monterey Jazz Festival September 25th. I know Kyle Eastwood's going to be down there and a bunch of great artists. And I'm doing Keystone Baltimore with Eddie Henderson. It's my gig, Eddie Henderson, Essiet on bass, John Davis on piano, and the great Donald Harrison on alto, and I'm going to play the music of Herbie Hancock, and I'm going to go back and play his earlier jazz pieces. I mean, even before Empyrean Isles. Like, I'm not going to play One Finger Snap real fast like guys do in a jam session. None of that, and none of the funky stuff. I'm going to go back and go way back to Blind Man Blind and Empty Pockets and some of those early Herbie things that I used to play when I was young, before I even met that guy. So, end of the call.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. No, so what are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
You know, when you were younger, you may be young now, and let's say remember when you first turned on James Brown, B.B. King, John Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, Hank Mobley, Art Blakey, and it just lit you up inside, made you want to move and made you want to play jazz or want to love jazz or want to be, it just hit you where you live, right square where you live, you know? You didn't care who the artist was, where he's coming from, post-bop, bebop, pre-bop, big band, whatever. It just hits you, and you don't even know why. So if I can do that to the listener, if it can hit them like the way it hit me, and still hits me, right in the soul, I guess, cool. That's what my objective is. And I hope on some of these pieces that that happens, that people get that joyful feeling to make, you know, life is hard. So an artist, I try to play from a point of encouragement to make people feel good. It's not just about check out these drum licks and watch how fast I can play, or look, here's my this concept or that concept. I mean, I'm over, way over all that. That's, you know, I'm done. I'm in a new bag now, which is total music and total swing. And that's the objective anyway. I'm not bragging. I mean, that is my objective. Make the people feel good. Make the music interesting so it's conversational. And make people be like, yeah, Mike. And especially on this record, because I think I'm addressing Mike and Leon, took this record seriously, but yet it wasn't like a rocket science bent over a laboratory desk with a Bunsen burner and all of this. It was natural, but the cats were serious, and that's why. I like listening to it. I don't listen to my records over and over again, only when I'm mixing. And then by then, you know so much about it, you never want to hear the damn thing again. But this one I can put in the background when I'm cleaning the house. And it feels good to me. So, and I don't like everything I'm on just because I'm on it. I'm way, I mean, those days are gone, man. So there it is.
I like it. So where can people pick up the album? Where's the best place for them to pick it up or stream it?
Well, I guess you can go to Amazon, all the local CD Baby, da da da, you know, the regular places where people get the music. It's everywhere. I see it all over the place. You know what I mean? So, like that. That's the best answer I can give you right now.
I like it. No, that's perfect. Mike. Yeah, Mike, thanks for opening up about the album. I look forward to having it on the show. It's great to catch up with you again. Good luck with everything.
Thanks. It's good to talk to you again. Thanks, brother. All right, you too. Keep in touch, man. If you hear anything, hit me, because we'll jump out there in a heartbeat, man. I don't want a mortgage. I'm not looking to kill the budget. I just want to play, you know.
Yeah, you got it, my man. I'll do it.
All right, brother. Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Mike for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the neonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.